All right, welcome into the Late Show. Jonathan Lowe producing on this Friday evening on the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO. Holiday season upon us. Next week, Thanksgiving, which I enjoy everything about Thanksgiving, and that meal is, look, let's be honest, it's one of the highlights of the year. But I do wonder if because of the economy and the grocery prices right now, is there anything that you're leaving off the menu this year for Thanksgiving? Anything in particular that you're leaving off the menu for Thanksgiving? And I bring this up because it sounds as though that Thanksgiving, overall, the dinner itself, the meal itself, the price is going to drop slightly, okay? And it revolves around the price of the turkeys right now. But the deal that's being reported is that the meal won't be all as, you know, encompassing as maybe previous years. So you're going to be paying less, but you're actually going to be getting less food too. And also, one of the things that is a key factor in the price of the meal being a little bit less is that some people are saying that there are costlier side items that they're going to probably do without. All right, so I got two questions for you here as we kick off the show. 651-461-9226. Anything that you are leaving off the menu this year for Thanksgiving? And secondly, is a Thanksgiving meal truly a Thanksgiving meal if you don't have turkey involved? Does it qualify? Is it an actual Thanksgiving meal if there's no turkey on the plate? So I'll be the first to answer. I believe that you can have a Thanksgiving meal without turkey. I believe that. I know that when we see pictures of Thanksgiving meals, we immediately jump to the most popular thing that people will want to eat, partake in, is turkey. Turkey is, for me, is not my favorite part of the meal. It's not. Secondly, is there anything that you're leaving off the menu this year? Well, for me, I'm not cooking Thanksgiving. I am attending Thanksgiving. So I don't really know. I haven't asked the chefs if there's anything that we will be without this year. But I do wonder if people are going to scale back just based on the economy and not having as much money, disposable income, if they're going to scale it back. Or maybe some people are playing it this way, J-Lo. Maybe some people are saying, you know what, I'm going to scale it back a little bit on my day-to-day, but we're going all out on Thanksgiving. That's not the day, nor the time, or the meal where we're doing shortcuts. Yes, this week, as in like today and this past week, and maybe early next week, meal-wise, we'll take it easy. But on that actual day, full of football and full of family, we're not doing any shortcuts.
Well, I think that just tells you how much people value the holiday itself and holidays in general.
Yeah.
Because I think you do the same thing in a bad economy. You talk about the Depression era back in the 1920s, you know, really through the 1930s, and people talking about how they may not have had the grandest Christmas celebration with their family, but they had one, and it was so, so great because the family was there. And it might have been a smaller tree or a skinny tree, but there was a tree, and Santa came with a stocking and all of that. And so when you think of the day itself, we put a lot of emphasis on especially specific holidays, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve. Those are really, I'd say, the 6 days of the year that above any other, we really focus on having that blowout day where we party it up in some way, shape, or form consistent with the holiday.
What is your favorite family meal of the year? When you are with family, I know that you got family spread out, whatever, you're not originally from Minnesota.
I would say Thanksgiving was my favorite family meal of the year, family meal day of the year.
And mine is Christmas.
And that's why I was talking with someone recently about how they love Christmas. They were putting up, it was a couple weeks ago, right after Halloween, they were already... Someone who worked at this restaurant that I go to, they came in on their night off to start putting up Christmas lights. I'm like, oh, come on. Really?
You're hating?
We just going to skip over the month of November? We're just going to skip over that entire month?
Christmas is my favorite meal. That one is my favorite.
I do not begrudge anybody their Christmas. I don't begrudge anybody their Christmas.
But I'm not skipping over Thanksgiving.
Don't skip past the month of November, people. It's important.
Well, I did see this headline from the Minnesota Star Tribune earlier that caught my eye. And it'll be a little bit deflating when you see it because you want everybody to do as well as they can. And right now, when you're talking about, you know, meat prices and what's going on here, and especially with farmers, you just see that people are in a tough spot right now. And the headline read this way: not going to get any better. Small town Minnesota market closes as meat prices rise. And in the article, they talk about a gentleman by the name of Justin Linzer, and he's from Hoka, Minnesota. And in the article, they talk about their market, their butcher shop, and that's the name of the actual establishment, the butcher shop, he and his wife, that it will be closing soon. And that's tough. When you're talking about a small town, a town of about 600 people near the Iowa and Wisconsin borders, having to shut down, that's not good, okay? For the town, it's not good for anybody. Clearly, the business owners, and they say in the article, you know, Justin mentions that we couldn't sustain it. And with the long-term forecast being what it is, we made the decision to unfortunately close our doors. With costs unlikely to ease anytime soon, butchers and markets across Minnesota are preparing for industry conditions to get even worse. Some also blame excessive state and federal mandates. They got Pat Garofalo, who's in the article here, head of the Minnesota Grocers Association. He says it's a Bermuda Triangle of bad things: drought, government interference, and workforce demographics. That's the three-headed monster that's really hurting all small businesses, but particularly local meat markets and butchers. And in the article, they do say cattle prices were on the rise at the beginning of 2025 to ranchers' relief after the COVID-19 pandemic, yet retailers found little relief from high beef prices as federal tariffs under President Donald Trump hit this year, reducing beef exports from key places such as Australia and Brazil. All right, 651-461-9226. The question, answer them both, please. Anything that you're leaving off the menu this year for Thanksgiving? And secondly, is Thanksgiving a meal? Well, is a Thanksgiving meal truly a Thanksgiving meal if you don't have turkey involved? We get to that next year on The Lake Show. I don't know what this is. Is this from the J-Lo selection? Is this your beds? I
can't take credit for this. Oh, this was the song that we would play during Geraldine Steele's show.
Oh, this is some old school Geraldine Steele stuff, huh?
Yes. Right. She would use this song anytime she was talking to her son. Mm-hmm. And her son was bringing up some sort of great meal that he had somewhere, talk about the lovely food that he has living out in L.A.
Yep.
And then she would cue me. She said, get soul food song ready. And she would say, you know what? You know what that reminds me of? And then she'd cue me, and I'd start hearing it. And her son would just groan audibly over the air.
All right, so do me a favor. I love Geraldine Steele, but never play the song again.
No.
I know that you're doing it for the bit. You're doing it for the time.
Hey, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I get it.
And especially in our families, it relates.
I get it. All right, 651-461-9226. Two questions. We'll take phone calls and texts in here in a second. Anything that you're leaving off the menu this year for Thanksgiving? Because the price for the turkey part of the meal is down this year, but they're saying that people aren't going to have as expansive meals this year unless you want to spend a little bit more, okay? And a lot of people are leaving some of the side items off. And is Thanksgiving the meal, truly a Thanksgiving meal, if it doesn't involve turkey? Let's take a phone call from Jeff in Sauk Rapids.
Henry, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. No, there's nothing I'm leaving off the Thanksgiving menu because I've been very blessed and fortunate in life. So, actually, in the last couple of days, when it comes to the drive for the Union Gospel Mission and gift to the Max,
yep,
I annually donate, let's just say it's at least four figures.
Oh, man. Great job, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving back, man. Well, we appreciate it.
I save all year for it. So, anyway... So, no, I don't make a Thanksgiving dinner anymore. I take my family, whoever's – there's only a couple of kids around here anymore. But I'm going to give a shout-out. We go to Jack and Jim's.
Where's that?
In Duelm, D-U-E-L-M.
Okay.
It's a little bitty town just east of Sauk Rapids on Highway 95.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, yeah. Well, is it? Wait, well, hold on. Jack and Jim, is it near Foley?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they got a Foley address.
Okay. Yep. Got you.
Yep. And in response to your turkey question, they've got an outstanding buffet, and it includes turkey, ham, and prime rib.
Ooh, man. That sounds good.
All of which I find acceptable.
All right. Well, Jeff in Sauk Rapids, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it, my man. I know that we'll probably chat next week before I get out of here for the Thanksgiving, the rest of the week, because I have Monday, I'm here doing the show, then the rest of the week I have off. Let me look at the text line real quickly, because from the 612, they say, Henry, I'm alone for Thanksgiving this year, so I might go to Keys Cafe or somewhere else for my meal. Okay. This from the 651 rather. Hi, Henry. Stuffing with liver, yuck. What you got against liver? I don't understand. What's the problem? Or does this person say that they don't like stuffing? Stuffing and dressing is my favorite part of Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas. The only time of year that you're going to eat dressing is Christmas and Thanksgiving, at least for me.
I've never, even before I went gluten-free and had the gluten sensitivity that I do.
Oh, good for you, Mr. Gluten-free.
I never really partook in stuff, and I never really was a fan.
Of dressing?
No, I was not a fan of dressing or stuffing.
Yeah, that's a you problem, bro. You are tripping. This one from the 507, Henry, regarding your conversation, just leaving Costco. We don't do turkey. We do beef. Historically, we have had a rib roast. This year, we are doing a prime chuck roast. The difference is $70 for 9 adults. Well, we know that the beef prices are through the roof.
Yeah, Jimmy McMillan said back in 2012 in the New York City mayor's race, the price is too damn high.
Yeah.
The rent is too damn high.
I mean, the prices for all the stuff is high. Shout out to my homie CK. Hopefully she can hook me up with a few dollars so I can eat on Thanksgiving, or else I'll just, you know, I'll be without. Shout out to her. Anyway, for the
trying to get some,
I'm trying to get some free food.
Some free?
Yeah. From the 952 Lake, our family is doing a Talladega Nights Thanksgiving. Think Domino's Pizza, McDonald's, KFC, buffet, all wearing mascara clothing. My kids don't like Thanksgiving fixings, so not worth doing all the cooking. I'll say this. When we talk about Thanksgiving, this is probably the most that I've talked about the meal, and people been like, not for me.
Some people aren't that way, though. It's
yeah, but that's a newer thing.
I tend to agree. I think in the last 20 years especially, you know, there's been different priorities, or there have been different things going on, and so this is more of when you've had Friendsgiving show up, and you don't really necessarily need to celebrate it. I know someone that I think they're celebrating on a Wednesday at one family, on one side of the family, and then they're waiting until like Saturday to do the other side. So they're not even really going to do Thursday at all, because it's along with the family and the tradition and the meal and everything and the football, there's a lot of pressure. And some people feel, okay, if I take the pressure off of that day, then it's much more enjoyable.
How much are you looking forward to the football on Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll
be... Because this year we've got Chiefs and Cowboys, right?
I will be here.
I'm looking forward
in
to
this
that.
Seat when Kansas City is in Dallas playing Dallas. So if something gets messed up over the air, I will blame Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, a.k.a. Mr. Taylor Swift, and... All the boys in red, and actually they'll be in white on Thanksgiving, because Dallas will probably be in their dark blue uniforms.
My fraternity brother James Johnson, he texts me, he says, "Yo, there's nothing like dressing with cranberry sauce on the side." I agree with him. Like that's the best. That is the best.
Good for you.
That is the best.
Good for you,
man. Don't hate on us, man.
I'm not hating. I'm saying good for you.
You know,
good for you. Don't.
So you were
don't
growing,
think about wait, anything. Wait,
you are,
other than good
you are,
for you.
You are a Kansas City guy having Thanksgiving and no dressing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All the other people in the family who are having. More for you. That's great.
Man.
Give me the mashed potatoes.
That's
give me
the best
sweet
part
potatoes.
Of the meal. That, to me, the dressing is the best part on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Give me, you know, back in the day. I'm crushing the rolls. Crushing them.
Yeah, it's
give me carbs. Give me the carbs.
If there's one side that you're going to have to do without for Thanksgiving, because people are talking about they're going to reduce the sides just based on the prices, which one would that probably be for you? I'd say for me, the green beans. The green bean casserole. That's probably what I'm scaling back on. That, I love mac and cheese, but I'm particular about mac and cheese. There's only a couple of family members that I have that can cook mac and cheese the way that I like it.
Okay.
So I'm kind of particular about mac and cheese. Not everybody does good mac and cheese. So if we got no mac and cheese, I don't have an issue with that either.
I've always been a picky eater, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Half, you know, probably half of the stuff that everybody cherishes and loves and all that stuff, I'm probably like, yeah, pass. So, I mean, for me, I'm a carnivore. You know, give me the turkey. Give me the low family brisket. Give me a little bit of ham on the side.
Oh, ham. Well, we did a couple nights ago, Kelsey Carlson from Fox 9, she joined me, and we did, like, we went through and talked about, like, what's on our plate. We did a draft. We did a Thanksgiving draft. And she drafted ham. And I thought that was a very sneaky pick on her.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's
honey
that's
baked.
Fair. Yeah.
The honey baked ham.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is legit.
You can't do it without the honey glazing that seeps in and sweetens the pork, sweetens our friend Mr. Pig. Yeah, you know, I could do that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, my friend CK, they've confirmed that they are gonna hook their boy up, make sure that I,
you should feel ashamed of yourself.
Hey, man.
Shilling for food for Thanksgiving on the radio.
I'm shilling, bro. I'm begging.
Shame.
I am begging. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And I've always assumed that celebrities and those with money are the best tippers. But is that true? We get to that next. I have always assumed that celebrities and those with money are the best tippers. When you talk about going out to the bar, going to restaurants. But is that true? And I would love to hear from some people out there in the hospitality business at 651-461-9226. And I bring this up because there was a conversation on a podcast recently with NBA player Michael Porter Jr. and LiAngelo Ball was part of the conversation. I think that Lonzo Ball was on the podcast too. So all these guys are sitting around, and the topic of tipping comes up, and they start getting into their philosophy about tipping. And LiAngelo Ball, and the way that he and Michael Porter Jr. addressed it, I said, is this just some young, dumb guys just saying nonsense and just talking and not being respectful of the hospitality industry? Or are there a ton of young people that don't view tipping the way that that we do, okay? Those that have been always acknowledging that tipping is a part of what you do when you go out and you receive good service at a restaurant, that you tip that 15, 20% and you move on with the rest of your life. Now, I have been a person that has always done the 20%, okay? Or at least I've done 20% for the last couple of decades. Okay, 20%. Now, have I had service where I had an issue and they didn't get the 20%? Absolutely. Only time that I would even think to not tip is if the service is that bad. And I think that in the last couple of decades, I've had just two times, where the service was so bad that I needed to talk to a manager and I had to talk to them about how bad it was. And in those instances, both managers said, sir, don't worry about it, yada, yada, yada. And we had that, you know, we had a conversation. Outside of that is 20%. But to think that someone like LiAngelo Ball would say that he refuses to tip anything over $20, that is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. And we're not talking about a $50 bill. We're talking about thousands. Michael Porter Jr., same thing. So listen to this clip, and we had to edit because they used a couple of words that we can't air on the radio from the Ball in the Family podcast, where it's Lonzo Ball talking to Darren Moore. The guest on this episode was Michael Porter Jr. about tipping.
Is tipping culture out of control?
Depends who you ask.
If I'm at a restaurant, I'll leave a little tip.
If you're spending $3,000 on a meal, you shouldn't have to tip $600 to me.
I could get like a $400 meal, and I'm only giving a 10 or a 20 on how you was on that night. Like, that's how I rock, for real. Unless I really, like, you know, I'm trying to flatter some I leave a little hundo out there or something.
So you leave 20% every time?
Yeah. Standard.
Y'all boys different.
So, did y'all hear that? Michael Porter Jr. said that if he spends if the bill's $3,000, that he is not going to give the 20%. This is a multimillionaire athlete that I believe this is unacceptable. Lonzo Ball says he didn't care what the bill is. He's leaving a $10 or $20 tip max. That's unacceptable. And let me tell you this.
Was that Lonzo or LiAngelo?
LiAngelo, LiAngelo. This is getting those guys flamed right now. These are some of the comments. And I love to hear from people in the hospitality industry. Is my assumption that the more money that you have, the better you are as a tipper? Because it sounds like some of the worst tippers are the ones that have all the money. I would
agree with that sentiment.
Some of the responses to this, rich dudes complaining about tipping 20% is insane. Jello is a clown, bro. This one from another person says, if you're not tipping 20% on dine-in meals, you are a bleep. This one from another person says, this is why I overtip. Because they know that these people oftentimes will get screwed by people like LiAngelo Ball. Another one says, I don't agree with that. I give $10 tips right now, so if I had rich people money, I would definitely tip a lot more. They say, oh, this one, you can spend $250 a day on Ubers, but you can't tip your server 20%, LOL. Never let the fact that these people play sports distract you from the fact that they're very much included when we say eat the rich. Yeah, I think that this is a bad look. I think that this is an absolutely bad look. And then we wonder why there are restaurants that will have the gratuity that's baked in.
The automatic gratuity.
This is why for people like Michael Porter Jr. and his crew going to restaurants and having like $4,000 and $5,000 bills, and then they don't want to pay people a tip. That's unacceptable in society. It really is. And you are doing extremely well as an individual. All right, let me go to the text line. I don't know if you... Well, hold on. Are you reading what I'm reading on the text line?
I don't have it up. Hold on.
I'll read it to you. It says, I don't know if you would consider Lake a celebrity, but know he firsthand that he always was a good tipper when stopping into the living room, Minneapolis, for his to-go dry rub wing order. Oh, hold on. I got a listener that knows my favorite dry rub wings come out of the living room in Minneapolis, and he texts the show, and first off, texts her, no, I'm not a celebrity, but I'm a good tipper. I have pride in being a good tipper. I have pride in that. From the 763, my son works as a server at a well-known downtown restaurant and says those who appear to have lots of money aren't always the best tippers. He says that sometimes, even when there are no issues, those people are the worst tippers.
I think that was a backhanded compliment because he complimented your tipping, but he said he didn't know if you were a celebrity.
No, I'm not one. I mean, we can go ahead and clear it up right now. I'm just the guy on the radio running my mouth about tipping right now. I have never in my life considered myself to be important or to be, I mean, everybody's important, but not to be a celebrity. Celebrities are like Justin Jefferson. Celebrities are like, so no, I don't think it's a backhanded compliment at all. I don't take it that way because I know what I am and I know what I ain't. I know what I ain't. Let's take a phone call here from Jim in Minneapolis. What's up, Jim?
Jim.
All right, let's put Jim on hold because you got to have your radio down. You got to have your radio down, Jim. You can't. That's how this works. You call in. You have your radio down. We talk through the phone. All right, 651-461-9226. Now he's got me hungry because all of a sudden I'm thinking about the wings at the living room. My goodness. Now I'm super hungry all of a sudden. I should be hungry anyway, right? I'm talking about Thanksgiving meals, and then I'm talking about, you know, dry rub wings now. Is he ready to go? All right, let's try it one more time. Let's go to Jim in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is James.
James. Okay, thank you, James.
That's okay. I grew up here in Minnesota, and I'm a hairstylist. So I've been doing it for about 27 years.
Okay.
And I moved out to Los Angeles and lived there for 14 years and worked in Beverly Hills and had like a pretty good celebrity clientele. They are so cheap. They are so cheap. I'm talking, these people had so much money. But the best tippers that I've had are people that are in the working field, like the teachers, even the moms, and just people that appreciated the work. And I feel that when you have so much money, you're always afraid that everyone's after it. And so it just, they were like, well, of course I have this much money. So they think that they're going to get this huge tip. And it's not like I'm expecting it, because I feel like the tip is part of the service.
Yep.
And that if you're not good, then no, you shouldn't get a tip. Like, I'm seeing these places that I would just go to and just buy something. And I'm like, why am I going to start tipping you? I have to check myself out. But with the rich people, they're the tightest with their money.
Hey, let me ask you this. All right, so I won't ask you to put on blast who the worst tipper was that's famous or celebrity, but who was the best?
Who was the best?
Yeah.
I would go coast to coast, and I would work in D.C. and New York and Chicago, San Francisco and San Diego, and then I'd be based out of Beverly Hills. The biggest tippers were D.C.,
okay.
They were, I feel like old money.
No, but
bigger
but,
tippers
but,
than
but,
new money.
But of celebrity names, like, did you ever encounter a celebrity that you would feel comfortable saying, yeah, this person I came across, they were legit. They were, they did right by me.
I don't know if I want to drop any names, but I don't cut and tell.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
But I feel like the normal everyday person, which was very hard to come across in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
but it was like, I worked on people that were in positions where their field didn't require them to be so public with their money or with how much they're getting paid. And I felt like they were more generous because they knew what it felt like to not constantly be bombarded for, hey, are you going to donate? Are you going to do this? Or
yep.
Because you have this much money, I'm going to charge. People would charge extra amounts for these people just because they did have it. I didn't agree with that. I just was like, I'm going to charge you the same price that I would charge A or B or C. But they just assumed that they would, like, I would expect something bigger.
Yep.
And I would always get, like, the bare minimum from them.
Yeah. No, I get you. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Jim in Minneapolis. It's interesting for me to see individuals like this to have this particular take on tipping. And I'm going to tell you what makes this 10 times worse, okay? This is what makes it 10 times worse to hear this from Michael Porter Jr., Mr. Mizzou.
M-I-Z.
I'm going to tell you what makes it 10 times worse, because the average person doesn't understand this. But diehard sports fans understand this. NBA basketball players get a per diem every single day. This is in addition to their contract. They have their contract. We're not talking about endorsement money, all that stuff. They get a stipend, a per diem every single day for food. And I'll look up what the current one is. I think it's roughly $175 or something like that. I don't know if it's like changed this year, but think about that. That's what they get a day. You can't, not everybody can eat that much food a day. So to think that they are complaining and bitching about tips and you're getting free money? Give me a break. 651-461-9226.
All we do here is out celebrities. Turn this show into Us Weekly.
I mean, we gotta call out the Mizzou cats.
How dare you?
Like we should.
How dare you?
More texts, more phone calls next year on The Lake Show. All right, later in the show tonight at 8:20, we'll get to a scoreboard with Jonathan Lowe. But I do want to say real quickly, I alerted J-Lo that we had one coming down the stretch here. And it was USC and Notre Dame in women's college basketball. USC coming in undefeated. Notre Dame with one loss. Notre Dame, Hannah Hidalgo, bucket to win it with 1 second left. How good was that? Like, clear it out.
She's bad.
Let me go and do my thing.
And then the defender kind of on her hip, she just kind of says, get off me.
And it was good defense, actually.
It was good defense. But she said, get off me. And then just now seeing Notre Dame steals the inbound pass from USC to try to tie it or take their own three-pointer to win it. I'm not as high on Notre Dame as I was last year when Olivia Miles was still there.
Yeah, not as deep.
Yeah, they're not as deep. They had a couple defections. Couple
still
graduations.
Good though.
They're still top 25 team. So, but last year I thought that team, especially early in the season, they had juice. They had fire, and I thought they were going
to the Final Four last year.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm with you,
but nah, didn't happen. Another update from the bank.
Oh, I was going to wait till 8:20.
I'll just say we've crowned a 2A champion.
Okay.
And we'll get to all the Prep Bowl stuff coming up here. Four games today. Three are now done. We're waiting on the biggin.
Hold on. Now I'm crushed. From the 952. Wasn't a backhanded compliment. Thanks for always being humble. Wings aren't on the menu anymore. No! No! No!
That's what we like to call backhanded devastation. I am happy for the listener for sticking up for you. That was great. And then just to devastate you. Oh, that might have made my night.
Coming up next, Vikings for the win. I think that they beat the Pack. We get to that next.
We still got a minute and a half to go.
Oh, what'd you say? 50? I thought
57-40.
Oh, I thought you said 55. My bad.
That's later in the show.
Why is it when you do the shows, it goes from 50 to 40? That's so weird to me.
No, it's
what
it's,
is out? What's up with the out times?
So number one. Behind baseball, I like to leave a little room to lead up into the break, but this is strictly because of we play these promos before we play our last spot break, and the promo is not the typical time. It is longer than normal.
I just wonder why that always happens that, when you're here.
Don't blame me.
I'm blaming you.
Blame our management. Our management is not keeping track of the time of these promos.
I'm about to check in with Tubbsy about this.
And I will say this as basically now they are listening to this, and this is basically my last official night on the air.
Well, let me get to this text real quick. It says, great topic. This one's 612. The assumption that everyone must pay 20%, must tip 20% has gotten out of hand. When I was young, 15% was considered generous, and that percentage already rose. Already rose automatically as the cost of the meal went up. Food prices have skyrocketed. Bills are much larger than what they used to be. And yet somehow the expected tip jumped from 15 to 20 on top of that. It's been 20% for years. I mean, if you're complaining about that now, then you might not want to go out. Hour two next.